Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
This morning, I want to continue to build upon what we were talking about last week. Last week, we started talking about what it looks like to follow Jesus. What it looks like to follow Jesus. It's a phrase that gets a lot of lip service, and I don't think we think about it deeply enough. And so last week we were focused on what it means to follow Jesus. And I don't know if you remember what we covered last week, but we discovered it's not as much about following Jesus where he's going. It's more about how he's going. We got to roll like Jesus rolls. Remember that? We talked about that last week. It's about how we follow him. He calls us not to a destination. Remember? He doesn't call us to a destination, but he calls us to a journey in which we're learning to love one another and to love God, in which we're living our lives as if Jesus were living his life through us, and asking in every instance the really important question. Do you remember the important question? I'll give you a hint. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Now, I'm hoping that as you went through this past week, maybe there were some things that you came up upon in your life and you took pause and you even asked yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? I actually had that come upon me a couple times this week in my workplace. Where I was like, how would Jesus respond to this situation? So, yeah, that's a question you can apply anywhere, anytime in your life. Jesus gives us a new compass. He gives us a new compass to learn how to follow him. And that compass helps us understand that we are heading in the right direction. We are following Jesus if we are laying down our lives for one another out of love. If we're living our lives and we're laying our agenda down and loving other people, we're heading in the right direction when it comes to following Jesus. So last week we talked about where Jesus was going, how to follow him. This week I want to talk about the types of followers of Jesus that are out there. The types of followers that you may encounter in your community out there, in your workplace. The types of followers we may even find here within our Maplewood faith community. So you ready to do this morning? Let's talk about the types of followers. I want to talk about this because in my experience, I found that the type of follower you are really kind of correlates to your spiritual journey that you're on. We're all familiar with the 23rd Psalm. Amen? We all know it. I think most people know it. Even unchurched people know the 23rd Psalm because they hear it read at funerals. You know, and I think sometimes we come into church, and when we come into church, like this morning, we had all of this energy in the room, and we sing and we worship. I love that. It's celebratory. We are not on the losing side. It's not a funeral. We're not here to mourn. We're here to celebrate. We're here to be re-energized. We're here to hope. And I think the 23rd Psalm sometimes is too often read through the lens of a funeral. It's too often read through the lens of loss or despair or crisis. But I want to tell you this morning, church, that the 23rd Psalm, which we're all so familiar with, is not just for occasions when we're dealing with death or dying or trial. This passage is all about living. The 23rd Psalm is all about living. It's all about what it means to follow Jesus this morning. You know it. I'm only going to read part of it to start off this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus, if we want to follow Jesus, if we want to understand who Jesus is, if we want to understand the way that he leads, we need only look at the 23rd Psalm. Just look at the 23rd Psalm, read it. That's how Jesus leads. That's who he is. He's like a shepherd. He leads like a shepherd, leading us to green pastures, leading us to quiet waters. He's a provider. He provides for our needs. Give us this day our daily bread, he taught us to pray, because he's the provider for what you need. Not just the food that you need that day, but the knowledge, the wisdom, the words to say, the discernment to choose. Give us this day my daily bread. He's our provider. He's a guide. The shepherd guides his sheep to places of rest, to places of pasture, to places of water and abundance. A shepherd's a protector. He's our protector. Jesus even told his disciples he was the good shepherd. It's like he totally connected the dots for them. He said, I'm like a shepherd. I am the best shepherd that you could ever have. We know a lot about what Jesus is like, but what about his followers? What about the types of followers, the types of sheep that follow Jesus? Now, that word sheep out there today has been co-opted by the political dialogue, by both the right and the left. And if you don't follow someone's political agenda, they call you a sheep. Well, guess what? I'm a sheep. I'm a follower of the master. Amen? If you want to call me a sheep and you think that's a derogatory term, good on you. I'm a sheep. I'm a follower. I'm a follower of Jesus. What kind of followers do we find in his flock? First of all, we find the curious. The curious. This type of follower of Jesus is really kind of only in it for the entertainment value at this point on their faith journey. They follow from behind, from a distance. They view Jesus more as a curiosity. Jesus is more of a spectacle. I'm going to go to church and see what happens. As a matter of fact, a lot of churches, they attract people in with extravagant shows and things like that. They make church a spectacle. They make church a spectacle, and people come in to be entertained because they're curious about what's going on there. These curious people, they're not bad, not necessarily all bad. They have questions. Curious people have questions. Curious people ask questions. As a matter of fact, if you're on your faith journey and you're not curious, there's something missing in your faith. Because we have to be curious, we have to ask questions in order to make our faith our own. I can't get to heaven on grandma's faith. I can't get to heaven on daddy's faith. The only way I can get to heaven to be where Jesus is to make my faith my own. And the only way I can make my faith my own is to ask questions, to be curious, to figure it out. To figure it out. They have questions, but they don't quite have the courage or the inner desire to do anything more at this point in their journey than to follow from a distance. The curious, they'll show up occasionally in person just to see what's going on, to check in. The curious, they know they are craving deeper meaning and purpose. The curious, they're not finding satisfaction. If you could really get in their head and see what was going on, if you could really get into their heart and see what was going on with the curious, you would find out that they are not finding satisfaction in their current lifestyle or in the choices that they're making, but they're seeking satisfaction. They're seeking the peace that only Jesus can provide. They've witnessed answers to prayer. They've seen other people's lives be changed who've actually gotten closer to Jesus. But the curious have also seen hypocrisy. They've seen people act one way in church and then act a totally different opposite way outside of church, away from the church. They're curious, but they're not dummies. They weren't born yesterday. They're curious, but they're skeptical. The curious follower of Jesus is skeptical, more of a tourist, maybe traveling from church to church so as to avoid direct engagement with Jesus or with other believers. If I don't get too close to anybody, then I really don't have to be held accountable. If I don't develop relationships with anybody, then I can keep doing what I want to do, and nobody will know the difference. The curious, they choose to keep their distance so as not to risk having to be confronted by the good shepherd face to face. Face to face. I'll follow you, Jesus, they say, but from a distance. I'll follow you, Jesus, but I'll keep at least, I'm going to social distance from you, Jesus. As a matter of fact, I don't want to give you COVID, so I'll triple social distance from you. I'm just going to keep my distance. I'll be in the same room, but I hope I never have to engage in a conversation with you. I'll come to your church, but I hope I never have to make eye contact with you. I'll slip out the back really quick during the prayer at the end. The curious keep their distance. It's hard to engage from a distance. It's really hard to have a robust relationship with someone from a distance. It's hard to hear Jesus when he speaks, when you're following from a distance. The curious follow from a distance. It's hard to hear him sometimes. Sometimes for the curious, they're keeping their social distance from Jesus, and he disappears around a corner, because Jesus tends to do that in our lives sometimes, doesn't he? For you who are walking with him, sometimes you're walking and all, where'd Jesus go? Where'd Jesus go? He disappears around corners, and when that happens to the curious, they wind up going astray. The curious constantly are at risk of being pulled away by the temptations and the attractions of this world. They like candy. They like shiny objects. They like the sweet stuff. They like the sweet stuff, and they like to be salty. So I'll just stay curious. I'll rest here in my curiosity. The curious are one type of follower that we find in terms of people who are engaging Jesus. Not all bad, but not all good. They're curious. Curiosity is good, but what you do with your curiosity matters. Is your curiosity getting you closer to the Lord? Or are you using your curiosity as an excuse to not engage him in a relationship? The curious. Next, types of followers here. The next type of follower we have is what I call the doodle follower. I told you there would be a doodle reference in this sermon. A doodle follower. This type of follower reminds me of my puppy dog, Pepper Jane. See Pepper Jane up there on the screen? You can all go, "Oh, puppy. Oh, Pepper's great." Many of you know Pepper. As a matter of fact, I think we should bring Pepper into the membership of Maplewood. Maybe when we do that, by the way, if you're interested in membership, come and see me. But Pepper is really getting to know a lot of you. I feel like we've become that Winn-Dixie church where the pastor's dog is a member too. But Pepper's great. As a matter of fact, I think that Pepper's the best thing that's happened to us probably since our kids went to college. She just, oh my gosh, we're dog people now. So she can't replace our boys, but she's our toddler. Pepper's a golden doodle. Pepper's a golden doodle, and golden doodles are known to be very social dogs. They're very social. They have a very deep need. It's just bred within them. Very deep need to be with their master. As a matter of fact, doodles are known to suffer from separation anxiety, and so are their masters. They suffer from separation anxiety when their owners aren't around. It's stressful on a doodle when their people aren't with them. Doodles are also very dedicated. They're very dedicated dogs. They go where their mommy and daddies go. You know, they are very loyal. Very loyal dogs, never getting far away from the voice of their master. Pepper will follow us around our house. She just wants to be in the same room. She wants to be in the same place. She just wants to be with you. Doodles. That doodle followers, they're very different than the curious follower of Jesus. These doodle followers walk closely with Jesus. You know, they're close to Jesus. They want to be with him. They know his voice. They know his ways. It's hilarious. When Pepper arises in the morning, if she arises with Victoria, it's one routine. But if she rises with me, it's an entirely different routine. They know our ways. They're smart little pooches. And followers of Jesus who are doodle followers, they know Jesus' ways. They know the rules. They know the expectations. They know what's going to happen. Doodle followers, they walk side by side with Jesus in their daily lives. Doodle followers are fully engaged in a personal relationship with the master. You talk about eye contact. We're always making eye contact with Pepper. You look with her, and sometimes she gives you the side eye. Anybody get your side eye from your dog? But boy, you know, she, you make eye contact with her and she is fully engaged. Dutiful followers with Jesus, fully engaged in a personal relationship. They are joyful in the presence of their master. They stick close and they're very eager for what is next. Dutiful followers, they rise with Jesus every morning. Dutiful followers, they go to sleep with Jesus every night. Our doodle's right in the middle of bed. Oh my gosh. We're dog people, folks. Doodle followers, they are living examples of what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 15, where he said, if you abide with me, I will abide with you. In other words, if you come live with me, I will come live with you. I will be with you. Doodle followers, they're growing, they're learning, they're expanding their knowledge and their loyalty and their faithfulness. But it's not all cute. There are some risks here for doodle followers, okay? Doodle followers are at risk. Listen to your pastor now. Doodle followers are at risk of becoming consumers only. Doodle followers are at risk of not contributing anything for the good of others. Now, we always say that Pepper gives as much to us in love as we give to her, but Pepper has yet to pay a bill for her doggy food. Pepper has yet to give me any type of rent payment to live in my house. She does protect us from the mailman. But she's never paid a bill. She's never paid a bill. So we have the curious type of follower. We have doodles. Okay? And then we have this third type of follower that I call the scent. And I'm not talking about smelly people. Okay? I'm not talking about aromas this morning. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about people who have a cologne or a perfume or whatever. I'm talking about followers who aren't just side by side with Jesus, but these are people that Jesus can trust to send ahead, to send out ahead. It's people that Jesus can trust to send out and do the work of the kingdom. You get where I'm going here this morning? The scent. The scent. We find an example of what I'm talking about. This happened in Jesus' interactions with his disciples all the time. And one of many examples you can find in Mark chapter 14, verse 12, says on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Mark chapter 14, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover? So he sent two of his disciples ahead, telling them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house, he enters. The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? This man will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. So the disciples left. Jesus wasn't with them. He gave them directions. The disciples left. They went ahead, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had described to them. They were sent ahead by Jesus. They could be trusted to be sent ahead by Jesus to do the work that needed to be done. The sent are not just walking with Jesus. They are not following from behind at a distance. No, the sent are following his direction. They're not following from behind. They're following his direction to go and do kingdom work. They aren't just following to learn. They've learned all they need to learn. They are filled with information. They know their scripture. And they know their doctrine. They know what good is. They know what wrong is, right? They know right from wrong. They have all the information they need. They know what is needed to be saved. It's not about following Jesus to learn anymore. They've been in church for years. Now is the time for them to be sent out ahead of Jesus to do the work. They aren't just following to be fed. They're not in it just to because they like the candy that Jesus passes out. Thank you, Don Carey, for the candy this morning. They're not just in it for the candy. They're not just in it for the shiny objects. They're not just in it for the perks. They're not in it for the money. They're not just in it for what I can get out of it. They're not just in it to get fed. They're in it because they are bought in to the mission of the kingdom of heaven, the sent. The sent, they're not just following to be entertained. They don't just come for a spectacle on Sunday morning. They come to be filled and restored and renewed and revived so they can be sent out to be the people of God in their circle of influence. You see how this works here? They are following to be sent out. They are invested in the mission on His behalf, and they are engaged in His business, intentionally building the kingdom of heaven in their daily lives, no matter where they may find themselves. The sent aren't just taking from Jesus. You see this here? The sent aren't just taking. They are giving of themselves. The sent are giving of themselves, and they are contributing to helping others find their way to the good shepherd, because that's what it's all about. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The sent have been so transformed from the inside out by the love of Jesus that their hearts are as broken for the lost as Jesus' heart is broken for the lost. You see, folks, we are destined to be made in the image of Christ. We're on this journey to become Christ-like, right? And that's just not a moral journey where we make good choices and don't make bad choices. That means that Jesus' priorities become our priorities. Amen?
Amen.
It's what breaks Jesus' heart breaks my heart. I get scared when I become numb to the brokenness of this world. I get scared when I watch television or when I hear these debates and I get numb to it. I get scared when I walk down the street or see somebody at the corner with the sign up and I just pass on by because I'm numb to their need. I get scared when I see people through my selfish eyes and I don't see them through the eyes of Jesus Christ as a soul who's loved and who's sought after and who's desired to be reconciled to the Father in heaven.
Amen.
The sent, so transformed by the inside out, by the love of Christ and the Holy Spirit, that our hearts are broken for the lost. Our hearts, just grade yourself internally right now. How broken is your heart for the lost this morning? The sent are not just called to be pastors, folks. The sent is, my job as a pastor is to deploy the sent, to go out and to bring the good news to this world. The sent, Jesus calls lay people, people who aren't pastors but come to church, lay people. Jesus calls lay people to be the sent. To be the sent. As a matter of fact, I really believe that if Maplewood is going to have a future, listen up now. If the Maplewood faith community is going to have a future, we as individuals need to aspire to becoming followers who can be trusted by the Master to be sent out to do His work.
Right.
Pastor Vicki and I can't do it all by ourselves. As a matter of fact, we got a lot of people that help today, and I am thankful for each and every one of you. But we need more people to pick up the passion, to get invested in the mission, so that we can deploy and be sent out so that others find Jesus in their lives. If Maplewood is to realize its full potential, we need to become people whose hearts collectively and individually are broken about the brokenness in our community. We need to be people who become burdened by the lost and the spiritual need around us. We need to become people whose hearts are broken for the lost sheep. We were lost sheep at one time. And somebody was obedient to Jesus and intersected in our lives so that we could come and find Jesus. Amen? Who was that person in your life who was obedient to Jesus and helped you find Him, helped you be found and brought into the fold? If we're to realize our full potential, We have to become people whose hearts are broken for the lost. We need to become people driven out of love, the love of Jesus Christ, to get off the bench and get into the game. We got to get into the game. It's so easy, church, to settle for just being a doodle. It's so easy to just settle and I'm just going to be a doodle. I'll be loyal, Pastor. I'll be faithful. I'll give my tithe. I'll give my time. I'll be well-versed in my doctrine for the Church of the Nazarene. I'll be obedient to a point. Because that's the way doodles are. Obedient to a point. But never really moved enough to get engaged in kingdom work. Never moved enough to get engaged in the work of Jesus outside our own lives. The good shepherd, he's calling his sheep. The good shepherd's calling. But I want to clue us into one of the enemy's strategies this morning. I think that's part of my job here is to kind of pull back the curtain and let you see the strategy that the enemy is using to take down the church today. The enemy would love for us to be so self-consumed in our own spiritual journey, in our own spiritual need, in our own aches, in our own pains, in our own ailments, in our own shortcomings, and our own mistakes. He would love us to be so self-consumed to deceive us into thinking that is our destiny, to be a doodle, just to be a doodle, to be a loyal doodle. In reality, though, if we are to fully realize our potential, if we settle for being a doodle, it's good. There are some good things about being a doodle. But if we settle for being a doodle, we're not going to live into our full potential in Christ. We must mature into followers of Jesus who aren't following from behind, but who have grown and matured so much in our faith that we can be trusted by the Master to be sent out to do His work. Can you be trusted? Can you be trusted? Can you be trusted by the Master to be sent out and do His work? And Jesus, He doesn't call us to anything that He doesn't do Himself. I love His servant leadership style. And He's very direct. This is Jesus calling you. This isn't Pastor Joe putting pressure on you to get involved this morning. You could look at it that way. That'd be really cynical. Jesus, in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus says, "My peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you guys." As the Father sent me, Jesus says, I am sending you. I am sending each of you, not some of you. I am sending you. To be a doodle follower is to risk being deceived into a certain type of apathy, a certain state of apathy, where my faith is all about me and my destiny, and I become numb to the needs, the spiritual needs, the brokenness that's all around me. Church, we are called to so much more than to just come in and to self-serve and to kind of gorge ourselves like at a spiritual buffet on Sunday morning. We are called to be so much more. We are called to do so much more. We are called to be made holy. To be made holy is to be transformed, to take on the work of the Good Shepherd, so that we are the ones helping, that you, as a follower of Jesus, become the one helping to provide for the spiritual help of others, so that you become the hands and the feet of Jesus that's helping others be guided towards the rest of the flock, so that you, as a follower of Jesus, are standing up and are helping to protect the lost from being misled and away from the cross, so that you are taking on the likeness of the Good Shepherd in Psalm 23. You are the one walking with them through the valley of the shadow of death, because you've been there before. You know what it's like, and you have hope, and you know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and Jesus is calling you to be the Good Shepherd. Amen. Amen. We're called to follow Jesus, and in doing so, we're called to become Christ like. That means when we read the 23rd Psalm, We're not just reading about the one who helps us in our time of need. We're reading about who Jesus is calling you to become. Psalm 23 is the pattern. You see, because at some point we graduate from being sheep and we graduate into becoming helpers of the shepherd. We become shepherds of our little flock. You all have your little flock, people in your circle of influence, that you're the only one who's going to reach them for the kingdom of heaven. You are the one. It's up to you. You're the only one. You are their only hope. What are you going to do about that? We are to become Psalm 23 type of Christians. I paraphrased this week as I was studying. I've never thought about Psalm 23 this way. But I paraphrased Psalm 23. The Lord's sheep. This could be a prayer for somebody who's praying for help. The prayer for somebody who's praying for assistance, who doesn't know Jesus. Maybe they're a curious follower. Maybe they're totally outside the realm of the kingdom. The Lord's sheep are my shepherd. They help me not be in want. His sheep help others like me lie down in green pastures. His sheep help others like me beside quiet waters when my life is full of chaos and I have no direction. His sheep help people like me. They lead me beside quiet waters. His sheep help restore the souls of those who are weary, because they've been restored by him in the past and they know what it's like. His sheep are guiding those seeking the truth, seeking, hungering for paths of righteousness. His sheep act as a guide for Jesus' name's sake. Even though we all walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear either because we are not evil, because we are not alone. His sheep come alongside us and remind us that he is with us, even when we can't see him. They come beside us and comfort us when we feel inconsolable. Jesus' sheep comfort those who need comfort. Jesus' sheep help prepare a table for me when I'm in need, even when I find myself in enemy territory. His sheep go behind, they take the risk and go behind enemy lines to come and be with me and set a table for me in the presence of my enemies to help me. Surely goodness and love will follow his sheep all the days of their lives. And as they become shepherds, they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and help others find that house too. Not a very common way to read Psalm 23. How do we become Psalm 23 followers of Jesus? How do we avoid becoming doodles? All take, little give. How do we become people who are worthy of being sent by Jesus? You know, as I've thought about this all week, it all comes back down to, it starts with a broken heart for the lost. You know, I think some of us have gotten so stuck in our ways and we've become such doodle followers and we've settled for a routine. We're hungry for revival. We're wondering why it's not coming. We're wondering why God doesn't pour it out. And I think the real reason is because we've been praying the wrong prayer. We've been praying for revival for me so I feel good, so I feel comforted, so I feel entertained, so I feel filled. And we need to be praying that our hearts be broken for the lost. We need to be praying that for revival so that we can be made Christ-like, so that his agenda becomes our agenda. Folks, the intersection of our lives and revival comes when we become Christ-like, when we desire to actually sacrifice our own wants and our own needs and become Christ-like. You want revival to come to Maplewood? Pray for a broken heart for the lost. Don't pray for their hearts to be broken yet. God's working on that. God wants his people's hearts to be broken for the lost. We haven't quite arrived yet. If we've become numb, to the fact that our hearts aren't even broken. We have come to tolerate the fact that there are lost people out there. What do they call that in military parlance? They're just casualties you can't help. Ooh, that hurts, right? Collateral damage, I think, is what they call it. Collateral damage. Lord, break my heart for the lost. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus pray if Jesus were praying for revival? He'd be praying that his heart, that his people's hearts would be broken for the lost.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.